The number one marketing strategy you need in today's business climate is networking. Word of mouth and referral marketing is the most powerful way to grow your business. But for many, just the idea of networking causes anxiety, frustration, and perhaps a little fear. The Once Timid Networker radio show will get you through these networking challenges by providing tips, suggestions, and real-life success stories of other business professionals who got out of their own way and learned to love networking. Now, here's your host, the original Once Timid Networker, Tara Schmeichel.
Well, welcome to our show today, friends. I am Tara Schmeichel, and I am the Once Timid Networker. The purpose for this show, as stated in the intro there, is, you know, really just to share tips, advice, resources, but especially inspiration. We learn so much from other people's stories, and that's been one of the things I've really enjoyed about doing this show, as well as the blog that I have, theoncetimidnetworker.com. The title of our show today is Your Mindset Determines Your Success. Now, a lot of us are familiar with that idea, right? If you believe it, you can achieve it. Those are the words of Napoleon Hill. And so many people even know those words. They don't even know that it came from Napoleon Hill, but it's that idea is very common in today's world. We can get really excited for our ideas. We can be focused. We can be determined. We can be driven. We have our affirmations that we repeat daily. You know, we visualize our successes. And sometimes we even start thinking and living as if it's already happened, which is fantastic. That's what it's supposed to do. But sometimes something gets in the way. We might have a tragedy. We have an illness. Maybe something sets us back. And then we become paralyzed. And then we don't know what to do. Well, our whole mental attitude can change, and then suddenly we're right in the pits of despair. And I'm not talking about the one from The Princess Bride. That would be funny. This is not. I'm talking about something that really takes the wind out of our sails and really affects our whole mental attitude. Well, today my guest is Holly Robinger, and I met Holly on Facebook, and she had been saying some things and posting some things and some articles and different things that I was immediately drawn to her message. And to be completely honest, I saw her as a potential guest on the Once Timid Networker radio show. And so I'm really excited today because she did say yes, and she is my guest today. So, Holly, welcome to the show today.
Thank you, Tara, and thank you so much for having me. I'm honored that you asked, and I'm so happy to be here.
Well, thank you. I'm excited for you to be here, too, because I truly believe you have a story that is obviously worth hearing. But the things that you have to share are helpful for so many people. And so first, before we get started, would you tell us a little bit about your business, please?
Okay. Well, basically, and I had a coach actually help me, you know, frame my distinct statement about myself. And I'm known as the Classy Sassy Guide that offers simple and sassy tips for women, and especially to empower them to take the reins on their financial future so they can be and feel security for themselves and their family and have peace of mind. So I know that's kind of wordy, but basically I work with women on empowering themselves, helping them become the best they can possibly be. I think we all have it in us to succeed and fly. And it's just a matter of, you know, finding that little seed and that little flame that you can fire up, and we can all be the woman we've always dreamed of being.
Very cool. Now, and I love the business that you have, and I've been following you for quite some time, and I've seen the effect that you've had on the women that you're working with. Now, for today, would you say that this show is just for women, or would you say that men could be included in the show today?
I'm so glad you asked. It's so funny. I have so many men like emailing me, Facebooking me, calling me and saying, well, what about me? And my my business is called Empowering Women Monthly, but I'm thinking of adding And Some Smart Men to the title because I do work with men as well.
Okay.
I just specifically focus on women because obviously I am a woman, and it's very easy for me to feel every single thing that they have gone through or are going through. And, you know, with a man, it's a different take. But I always want to preface my talks with, I am not man bashing by any stretch. I love men. I love working with men. I love helping men with men and being with them. So, yes, this is about women, but for men as well.
Okay, fantastic. Well, I just, for our listeners, if you're a gentleman out there and you're listening and you're thinking, oh, the show is not for me, please stay tuned, because I think you will find the things that we're about to talk about very interesting as well. So thank you for that preface there, Holly. Now, let's get started. I always like to start the show with, you know, how this is about, you know, my story is about being once timid. And so I kind of like to talk about that as well. So could you please just kind of tell us your story?
Okay. You know, because you are the Once Timid Network, I will tell you, I was very shy as a child. I mean, then I'll get into my whole story, but I was extremely shy as a child. And I guess over the course of time, I just grew into myself. And pretty much people call me fearless now. Like, I will talk to a wall if it will talk back. And, you know, I think, and it's one of the things I'll get into after my story, but I think it's because of a lot of the pain I've experienced over the course of my life. And one of the things that I've just learned is that for every 10 days of pain you have, you experience more and learn more than somebody who has experienced 10 years of contentment.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. So with that, I will get into my story, which, you know, for me is very painful, and I will keep my composure because sometimes I tend to get very emotional. But very, very briefly, I lived the lifestyle of the somewhat rich and famous. People used to teasingly call me, I wasn't even the queen, I was the empress. You know, beautiful clothes, went out for delicious meals, beautiful homes, you know, pretty much anything I wanted. Now, with that, I am educated and I've always worked, but basically using the money that I worked just for my wants, not necessarily my needs.
Mm-hmm.
So one day I woke up and basically found out that the rug was pulled out from my life. Mm. And people ask me, you know, how did you feel? Well, truthfully, I felt like I had been hit by a train head on. And I will tell you, two trains head on. Mm. It totally took the wind out of my sails. And what had happened is I had turned my financial life basically over to my significant other and my financial advisors. And the majority of it was just totally mismanaged.
Wow.
And it was a very scary, unempowering feeling,
mm-hmm,
to know that that could happen. And I mean, there were days where I just couldn't even get out of bed.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to pull the covers over my head and pretend like it was a bad dream.
Mm-hmm.
And what's even more amazing, Tara, is now that I've gotten into this and now that I've developed my niche and my passion to help other women, it seems like every other day somebody is being put in my path who has had a similar, if not an exact, story.
Got it.
And it's a little frightening to know, you know, how much of this is going on. And again, it works both ways. It's not just to women. It works for men, you know, mm-hmm, as well.
Well, definitely, because we're living in a time of financial fluctuation, if you will. And, you know, a lot of times our mental attitude can definitely be tied up in the way that our finances are going. So I can see how this could be affecting you. So, Holly, you had this painful situation that happened, and I can only imagine what you must have gone through. What did you do next?
Well, basically, I had a mindset adjustment, and I had to, because I'm a very optimistic person. I think I've gone through a lot of hardship early in my life, and with that, I've gotten stronger. Mm-hmm. And I always see the glass three quarters full, not even half full. And I knew, I said, well, what can I do to turn this into a positive? You know, how can I turn this around? So basically, I said, okay, I can help prevent this from happening to other women by educating them. And I can also help women who have gone through a similar thing. And this has pretty much become my quote, pull up their big girl panties and move forward. Yeah. But I had to first learn. You know, I had to dig in. So what I did was, when I focus on something, Tara, it's like a freight train coming your way.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I'm all in. If I believe in something and it becomes my passion, I'm just so all about that. So I started studying everything I could find. I mean, it started with the idea of first doing something offline, perhaps as a nonprofit and hiring women to help them make extra money. And then after investigating all the laws and doing my research, it was just really not a feasible way to go. And I did spend months, you know, looking into it. So then I discovered the online world and basically started studying 24/7. I entered what I call my little cave of education. I feel like I went back for a PhD and learning everything there is to know about business online. And along with that, in conjunction, I was studying everything and connecting with as many people as I could who are knowledgeable about money and finance. And just as a little codicil here, I do have a master's in business administration. So it's not that I didn't know about money and finances. It's just that as a woman, and I believe as a typical woman, we have a set mindset and limiting beliefs about money that are programmed in our heads since childhood. Now, it's not everybody, but certainly the majority of women I speak with and have spoken to, yes, we have what I call the Donna Reed syndrome.
Oh,
you know, we work because we want to work. Now, of course, that's changing now with this new economy that we're in. But, you know, my age generation and perhaps the generation just under me, I think we've all been through that, you know, limiting money beliefs and mindset because of society, because of TV, because of what we saw our mothers and all the women in our lives do. And, you know, that's like a mountain, you know, like how do you overcome that?
Yeah.
It's a big deal.
So as you decided, you know, that you were going to, you know, you're doing all of this research and you're studying and you're becoming a student again, basically, and learning all of these things about where, you know, where everything is, did you have the vision in your mind what you wanted to do?
Well, it's very interesting that you say that because like anything else, it is something that evolves, mm-hmm. you know. And you have to be open. If you want to be successful, you have to be open and not rigid. You have to be willing to go with the flow mm-hmm. and changes because it's interesting. Originally online, I decided I'm going to start with teaching women how to be good to themselves mm-hmm. because if you're not good to yourself and you don't feel good and have self-esteem and self-confidence, you can't tackle anything. Forget about finances. You can't do anything. Mm-hmm. So I started with a program called 30 Days How to Be Nice to You. Well, then the more and more I learned about finances and how many women were being put in my path that were struggling and never had gotten involved in their financial life, I decided, okay, I've got to do something a little bit deeper here. And with my learning and with my new connections, I had to accept that one of my biggest strengths is I've got a lot of really good connections in my life with really strong, very well-known people, and I keep making those connections more and more. It's the way I attract people into my life. So sometimes we become a little modest and we don't want to admit, you know, some of the things that are positive about ourselves, but that's one of my biggest strengths. So what I did was I took all that and I pondered it for a while. And then I decided, okay, instead of putting a class together and just teaching this, I'm going to form an online community, which I also do offline, but an online community where women can learn, but also can network and barter their services. So it's morphed into this wonderful community online where my whole business model is women helping women. You know, people will join the community to learn, but in the process, they can be featured as a member of the month, and then it links back to whatever they're doing to share with the world or their business. Or they can become one of the educators like you so graciously did, and then it links back, you know, to their business. So it's all women helping women. We all hold hands, and if we stretch our hands around the world, we can all help each other. So that's what it's really grown into, and I am extremely, extremely passionate about this. And the community, along with the workbook that I developed for women, which goes hand in hand, really, really helps women, you know, start taking the reins on their finances. And whether they're alone or in a wonderful, healthy relationship and or marriage, they need to do this. We need to become equal partners and have equal say in the management of our finances. And it's funny, one of the things I like to tell my clients, and I'll share with your audience, is, and some of you may be very young and don't have children yet, but you'll think about this. When we have children, when we're ready to send them to preschool or nursery school, we investigate it, Tara, inside out, upside down, sideways, right. You know, yep. Here, flip there. We don't send our children just anywhere. Even as far as before that with babysitters, we totally, totally investigate where they're going to spend their day. Mm-hmm. Well, it's funny. With money, which we are hoping to build into a legacy to leave for these children that we totally like adore and dedicate our life to, we don't do the same thing. Right. We don't investigate. We just kind of say, okay, we're turning it over. So if you really stop and think about it, it is a little flabbergasting that we do that.
Yeah.
And I think when I make that statement, it stops a lot of women in their tracks. Like, okay, I get this now.
So, and I think that's fantastic, you know, that people are, that you're able to, you know, vocalize it in a way that people can understand. So I want to get back to, you know, from the networking standpoint here, you have gone from, or not even the networking part, but, you know, just the, you know, getting out of your own way. You went from, you know, you had told me you pretty much had hit rock bottom, but then you psyched yourself up and you were able to accomplish what you've set out to do, and you didn't even know what it was in the beginning. So can you share with me and our listeners what kind of a process did you go through to change your own mindset? Because I know this is something that you work with other people on, and I want to spend some time talking about that. But first, you had to get to that point yourself.
Well, right. And, you know, it's funny. And, you know, you can't get down on yourself when you have what I call pity parties. And believe me, in the beginning, and I'll just share a quick one with you. I was at a meeting and I was having such a major pity party that I walked 5 miles home. Like 3 people offered me a ride. Oh. And I turned it down because I wanted to have this pity party for myself.
Yeah.
Walking in sandals that were not walking shoes.
Oh, dear.
For 5 hours. Well, I can tell you, I got home, you know, with cuts all over my feet. It was 5:30 at night. By 6:30, I was sleeping for the night.
Yeah, no kidding. I can imagine.
Right. So, you know what? I just really had to stop and take stock of my life and really just say, okay, where do I want my life to go? You know, what's my life vision? And with the life vision, then I had to kind of say, okay, well, I've got to have finances to do that. So now I've got to cast this financial vision. But for me, you know, going through this, I had many, many obstacles to overcome, to adjust even to getting my business going, because I always say I'm the technologically challenged baby boomer, you know. And, you know, it's funny because one of the coaches I worked with online said, I had to tell you this, but you're going to have to cry. You're going to have to pull your hair out. It's part of the learning process, because once you learn it, then you're going to so appreciate it.
Yeah.
And you do. But I had to really write down my goals. And I had to every day kind of jot down a little success, like something that I accomplished, which would just make my mindset and my focus that much stronger.
I think that's such a good point, because when we are in that place where it's not, we don't feel good, we feel yucky, whatever, and we feel like, everybody hates us, nobody loves us, whatever. We get to this point where we only start seeing negative. And I had a really dear person tell me and share with me to, because she had seen that in me. And she said, you have got to take a journal and write down all of the good things that people are saying. Not just the things that people are saying, but those wins that you have, the good successes that you have every day. And when you look back at those, you can say, yeah, I guess things aren't so bad, and that made a huge impression on me. First, it felt a little weird, to do it, because it felt, just felt wrong to write down good things about myself. But, so it can be a little awkward at first, but now now when I write down something, I'm like, yeah, that was awesome. Great. Woohoo. And so I'm sure that for you, that may have been a little challenging at first as well. But when you see them compile and you build up and you keep track of those successes every day, it really does lay a nice foundation for, feeling good and being able to set, your sights and change your mindset. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. And then when people say something nice, like, oh, my God, I can't believe, you were able to do this, and how did you do it? You write that down because, sometimes it's hard to accept the compliments, but you have to take them and you have to – write it down and focus on it, because everything is baby steps.
Yes.
And like you talk about, getting your mindset in order. Mindset is the beginning of everything, Tara, whether it's, weight control, whether it's, learning how to ride a bike or drive a car, or like I do with the finances. It's just
or networking.
Exactly. It's just, and the biggest thing with mindset, it's like getting deep into your subconscious and finding out, why is this negative chatter in there?
Mm-hmm.
Because your first step to anything is to become aware. And if you don't get to the bottom or the root of the problem, then you can't solve it.
Right.
So, it was a little painful. I had to dig down to the root. Why have I thought like this? How could I allow it? Now, in my case, because of everything that ended up happening, and you know what? I don't want to get into the details, but because my situation did end up where my husband and I did divorce, and I will just say we do have a very cordial relationship, mm-hmm. and I think we could do a reality show on how you divorce. But, I also, for me, that was hard. I always thought I'd be married forever. At this point in my life, I really wasn't planning on this.
Yeah.
But I still had to find a way to get my mindset in the right direction. And
so what did you do?
Well, I will tell you one of the biggest things that came to me. And again, I think, and this was the switch that I flipped on, and I just did it subconsciously, I became more spiritual. Mm-hmm. And spiritual in a very nice way, not in a, hocus pocus, all that, like my daughter likes to say, oh, that's the hokey pokey stuff.
Yeah.
Not that at all. I'm just, I'm really open to what the universe is presenting to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if more people would be open and see beyond 2 feet in front of them, they would be able to go a lot farther in life, because all that negative stuff and that wall you build around you will block you from achieving your true potential. Now, I started reading this book just fairly recently. It's called Spiritual Divorce by Debbie Ford. And even if you're not going through a divorce, I think it's a wonderful book. And what I found reading through it, that I had been going through these steps even before I picked up this book. And for me, I was lucky enough that it was a natural progression. And one of the things she says, if you just permit me to read this little statement here, it says, our inner peace is restored only when we learn to move beyond the ongoing dialogue that rattles around in our heads. If our minds are quiet, completely still, without thoughts, there are no problems and no pain. And I really found that, you know, a great statement that, you know what? Get rid of all that negative chatter. Let's find out where it started. Let's get rid of it. Let's work through it. And then you truly can have what I call a mindset reset and Nice. Take the steps. Now, one of the things that I like to say, and this is interesting because we didn't talk about this, but I'm actually a dietitian by trade. Mm-hmm. And I worked a lot with behavior modification when I help people with weight control. And behavior modification basically involves you have to change your mindset before you can change your behavior.
Right, right.
So
right.
Whether it's a diet or finances or networking or anything else, it's all about changing your behavior. And one of the big tips I used to teach people is don't act immediately. Like, you know, think about it. This is like a little silly example, but let's say you're watching TV and, oh my God, I want to have some cake, okay? Mm-hmm. If you act on that thought immediately, you're going to go get that cake, okay? But if you allow the rational thought processes to slowly work their way through your mind, like, okay, you start thinking about it. Well, do I really want it? Do I need it? I love the idea of thinking how you'll feel afterwards, but no matter what you're going to do. Once you let those rational thoughts in, it's a lot easier to change your mindset.
So let me ask you this. You know, as the once timid networker, I used to be so afraid of talking to people in public. I was fine with talking to the people that I knew or that I knew loved me, you know, or that they respected me or, you know, thought that I was, you know, good at what I did, you know, my business and that kind of thing. But when it came time to talk in front of people or to step outside of my comfort zone, that was the most challenging thing. And I mean, it left me just physically ill. And I mean, I would psych myself up to do it and I knew I had to do it. And, you know, I had my own little things, but you know, and I obviously have changed my mindset because now I look forward to that kind of a thing. But for someone who's listening, you know, to you listeners who are thinking, I can totally relate to that. Holly, how could a person, you know, change their mindset about talking to people?
Well, basically you become aware of it. Like you first became aware. If you didn't know it, you wouldn't be able to change it.
Right.
And then you think of different tactics and strategies. Like, okay, I think one of the things you did was you put this song in your head, and I like
yes,
to compare it to the attorney from Ally McBeal.
That's exactly what I did.
Yeah, like I love that whole episode from Ally McBeal where he put this power song into his head.
Yeah.
Some people can wear a power bracelet, a ring, something to make them aware. And then what they need to do is to come up with different like affirmations in their mind, you know, different statements, you know, like kind of like the little train, I think I can, I think I can. Mm-hmm. Make a statement that you can pull to the forefront of your mind saying, okay, I'm in this situation, I'm uncomfortable, but I know I can do this because I did this then.
Yes.
So, you know, you work through a negative thought where I can't and you turn it into a positive. So for the listeners who are out there, what I like to suggest is, okay, Tara, like let's say you were in a situation where, okay, this is uncomfortable for me. So right away you visualize a big red light. Stop. Now think about, okay, I have done this before and all the positive things you've accomplished. Turn the negative thought into a positive and then you can take action. And look, practice makes perfect with anything that you do. So, you know, you become very aware of your problem. You start working through it. You learn and experiment with different techniques and different affirmations and you know, different things that you could help trigger your positive actions. And then you're constantly just taking natural actions. It will just happen automatically like it's happened to you.
Yes.
Now, for somebody who may find it a little more difficult, what they can do, I like to have people get into a, it's like a creative visualization exercise where I put them into a total relaxation state and have them relax and then creatively visualize how they'd like to be in that situation. And then I have them keep that image with them.
Yes.
Throughout the day and throughout the times when they need it, and they can pull on that strength because they remember how they felt in that situation. And if you kind of picture like how you feel, like when you've worked through something, like, yes, I did that. You know, that happy feeling, like I climbed that mountain, I was successful. Like you did that one time where like you were actually mentoring somebody else at the BNI meeting.
Mm-hmm.
You can keep that image in your head and draw on that for some of your strength.
Well, and I know for me too, I mean, when I realized, you know, because your steps here are so great, you know, I mean, and for the listeners, you know, we've got, so far we've got four steps, you know, be aware, create some strategies and tactics, and then to take those negative comments and turn it into a positive, and then practice. I know for me, that whole practicing mentally was huge. And I used to watch people, you know, that I had a few mentors that I would watch and I would absorb, you know, everything that they did so that I could, you know, mimic them. And I told them this later, so they know it. It's not like I was a stalker or anything, but I did watch them because I thought the things that they're doing are the way, that's the way that I want to be. And so as I would watch my friends and mimic the things that they were doing, I would do that visualization then later, you know, I would imagine myself doing what they were doing. Somebody had told me once, and this is nothing new, but somebody had said, you know, to hang around the people you want to be like. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to do that, you know. And as I imagined myself being like they were, it became easy in my mind. And so then, like you said, then when it came time to do it in real life, I had to kind of shift my mental thing and go, you know, yeah, I know that that's how I used to be, but that's not how I am anymore. And I would totally change my posture and, you know, kind of think, okay, become the person, in, you know, you've been visualizing. And so when you were talking before about don't act immediately, let your thoughts kind of take over so that you can see how you're going to feel afterwards and all of those things, that I have to say that's probably one of the number one things that helped me to get beyond the timid part to becoming once timid. And so I love what you're saying. And I hope that, you know, you listeners, you know, if you're having these struggles, whether it's networking at a new event or at a current event, maybe you meet with the same people every week and you're still anxious or nervous, you know, or maybe you just have a little thing that you do that you want to get over. These are steps that we can take so that we can get beyond that, you know, that mindset and work on a new mindset. So I love the way that you've broken this down, Holly.
No, thanks. And what you actually just described, what you did for yourself, there's actually a clinical term for it. It's called positive self-talk.
Uh-huh.
And the other thing where you were trying to be like people that you admired, it's called mirroring.
Yes.
And it's a very successful technique.
Yeah.
And it works.
Yes, it does. It does.
You know, with any kind of thing, whether it's a life, a skill, or a business skill, you can mirror somebody and it actually can become a positive attribute for you. And, you know, one of the things I like to say, Tara, too, is thoughts become things. And you had said in the beginning, you quoted Napoleon Hill.
Uh-huh.
And I had written this down from somewhere and it kind of just extrapolates on what you said, that you think it, you can dream it, believe it, you be it, and then you do it.
Yeah.
Like, it just evolves. You just mm-hmm. become, you know, a stronger, better version of you.
Yeah.
By working yeah. through all these issues, you know. But again, it starts with becoming aware. If you don't know you have the issues, you can't work through it, no matter what it is.
You're exactly right, because, you know, what is the old G.I. Joe, knowing is half the battle.
Yeah.
We have to know where we're at. And I will say this, and I hope you agree, you have to have the desire to change it.
Absolutely, because you know what? I don't want to say it's work, but it does require focus and attention and a type of work. I mean, you have to want it. It's like anything else. And I believe anything you want to do, anything, whether it's changing your mindset, whether it's, again, the weight control, doing better at your job, managing your money, becoming wealthy, it all starts with your why. Like, you need to write down in that journal, in your success journal, why are you doing this? Why?
Absolutely.
And it's something that it keeps me going every day. And I get up happy and I just feel fulfilled because I know I'm working on my why. And for me, failure is not an option. And I think if people kind of put that out there, mm-hmm. that failure is not an option, you will do this. Guess what? You will.
Yeah. Well, and sometimes even, you know, I appreciate that you're saying that because sometimes as we're doing what we're doing and, you know, as you... I'm the type of person who wakes up happy and everything too. Anybody who has seen me on Facebook knows I love mornings. and so that is my favorite time. But yes, you do have to have that idea of where you're going. Now, sometimes, and you might agree with this, and I think you alluded to it at the beginning, you may not necessarily know exactly the steps that you're going to take to get to that place. And maybe that place that you're heading is vague, but you know the direction that you want to go. And even at that time, you can still be positive and energetic towards that direction. Would you agree with that?
Well, yeah, you could be positive and energetic. And I think one thing people have to realize is not everybody can do it on their own. I mean,
no.
You know, I've had many coaches and mentors. I will always have coaches and mentors and educators.
Absolutely.
I mean, I strongly believe in that.
Mm-hmm.
Having somebody to work with and guide you, not necessarily
yeah.
do it for you, because that's called enabling. You have
yeah.
to do it yourself.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's interesting because one of the, another part of my business model is self-education.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I work through the steps with women on achieving financial independence, but they have to do it themselves. Like, you know, you can't expect somebody to hold your hand and then to, you know,
right.
end up on top. You've
right.
got to do it yourself. You've got to do
yeah.
it yourself. But you know what? There's so many people available that can help you, and there's nothing to be ashamed about. It's actually, I think, the smart person who asks the questions and
right.
gets help.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Most definitely. Now, I know that we've covered a lot of really cool information. Is there something that has made like the biggest difference for you personally, like one thing that you were just like, oh, this is it, this is my energy, this is where it all stems from, is right here?
Yep. And it's a great thing for everybody, Tara. And I actually did a webinar on it on 11/11/11 at 11.
Uh-huh.
my webinar was a money manifestation, because that's a wonderful day to open yourself up to the universe.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing, in answer to your question, that has really, really helped me is to adopt an attitude of gratitude. So that even though I had that horrible, you know, thing happen to me, it could be worse. It could be
yeah.
a thousand times worse. There's so many worse things, you know, that can
mm-hmm.
happen to a person.
Yeah.
And I think that if you just adopt an attitude of gratitude, be thankful every day for what you do have in your life, and really believe it. You have to believe it. You can't pretend.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, because that doesn't work.
No. You have to set that intention out into the universe that, you know, you are thankful. You know, it's funny. Years ago, I had heard somebody say, if everybody got in a circle and they put their problems in the middle, you would still take yours back.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I've heard that before too.
So, you know, it just goes back to, you know, just really be happy for what you have.
Yeah.
And when you open yourself to that, so much more will flow into your life.
Yes.
You know, open your mind. You know, I guess I would say maybe it's a 50-50 split when I speak to women and men alike. You know, there's quite a few open-minded people out there, but there's just as many closed-minded and negative people. And you just can't grow. And you can't, you know, have more abundance flow into your life in any way, whether it's abundance in education or money or meeting new people, new, you know, friendships, whatever, mm-hmm. until you open your mind.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of good out there, and you have to slowly go through these steps so that you can see the glass
yeah.
half full and mm-hmm. be happy for what you have in your life.
Yeah, I know when I was a little girl, you know, and you want things when you're a child. You just, you know, you see the cool commercial on TV, or you see your friend gets a new toy, or, you know, whatever. And I remember my mom saying, you know, Tara, count your blessings. You know, be glad for what you do have. And I remember going into my room and thinking, well, I do have, you know, 8 Barbies. That's kind of cool. And I do have, and I remember going through and making a mental list. Now, those of you who know me know that I'm a list maker. And even as a child, yes, I made lists of things that I was happy for, like my Barbies, you know, whatever. But, you know, that carries through today, you know, where we were talking at the beginning about how things can bring us down and we can be in the pits of despair and, you know, just feel like we've hit rock bottom and the wind has been taken out of our sails. When we stop and think about the things that are good, the things that are going right, the things that are, you know, like you said, having that attitude of gratitude and then opening your mind to the things that are coming your way. And sometimes we can get so wrapped up in ourselves that we don't see what's coming our direction and we can completely miss it. And I know I've seen that. Have you seen that, Holly?
Oh, absolutely.
And it's so sad, you know.
Yeah, and I'm gonna share, like, I mean, this was like the worst thing that happened to me in my life. And it's really interesting, Tara, how the universe placed this gentleman in my path to help me after this thing happened, which was the passing of my mom. And my mom was my best friend. And everything I've done in my community and in my books and everything are a tribute and in memory of my mother and my grandmother. Well, what happened is my mom had lymphoma, and my sister and I were taking her to the doctor for one of her treatments. And we were helping her out of the car. And my mother had like a great sense of humor. Like we would just, my sister and I burst out laughing, the three of us, you know, it was just a blast to be with her. Well, we pull up to the doctor's office. We're helping my mother out of the car. And you have to picture this, okay? When up walks this strikingly handsome man. And I said to my mother, oh, my God, in a Seinfeld episode, we would be dropping you on the ground right now. And anyway, he ran over to talk to us and help my mother walk in the door. And he started telling us his story and how he had lost his father. And I said to him, I'm so sorry. And you know what he said to me? And I think this really helped change my life around. He said to me, don't be sorry. I'm happy for what I had, not for what I don't have. He said, I had a wonderful relationship with my father that so many people don't, and I was blessed to have it. And that was like a tub of cold water being splashed down on me, because after my mother passed away, I just remember that every single day, that I was so blessed to have a mother that I was friendly with and yeah. that we had such a wonderful relationship.
Yeah.
So again, it's that attitude of gratitude. You can't focus on the negative, what you don't have, as I'm sitting here with tears in my eyes.
Well, I can relate because I adore my mother as well. And my mom is throughout my blog and on my Facebook wall. And people, I've thought about having a fan page for my mom because I write so many things about her. So I can relate. She is one of my best friends. I talk to her almost every morning. And I'm grateful that she lives probably, I don't know, 10 minutes away from me. So I can imagine, I can only imagine what your loss, you know, how that was hurtful for you.
It's devastating. Probably one of the worst things to happen to a woman who was close with her mom.
Yeah.
And, it's, you know, you can't understand it until you go through. But the point is that even something so devastating that the universe just placed that man in our path. I mean, for him to say that was just incredible.
And what a nice, you know, positive thing to say in the midst of things that are going wrong. And that's so often what's happening, you know, when people are trying to get out of their own way, they see only the negative, and yet the positive is right in front of them if they decide to grasp it. And so I appreciate the way you've given us the steps here to be able to grasp it and be able to see what can be if you just open yourself up to it. So now, would you recommend, Holly, you know, we kind of talked before about, you know, what the best thing that you would recommend for somebody else to do. Would you recommend that you know, if they did one thing, would it be have that attitude of gratitude, or is there something else?
Well, I think you have to start with that. And then I think the next thing would be anytime you have a negative thought, write it down and turn it into a positive one.
I like
that.
And
I think that's very powerful to do.
Can you give me an example? Say my negative thought is, I can't do this. Obviously, I can do this.
I can do this. And the reason I can do it is because I watched, you said, like you mirrored somebody. I watched so-and-so, and I'm going to put that pattern into my head and emulate what they did.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. You know, another example I use, like somebody would say, I can't go to that party because I have nothing valuable to contribute to the conversation. Mm-hmm. That's a negative thought.
A completely negative thought.
So a positive one would be, I can go to that party, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to pull out 3, 4, or 5 different magazines, whether they be online or offline. I'm going to do some reading of whether it's the Huffington Post or some other articles online, or go to TED Talks and find something interesting and make a list of 10 different topics that I can bring to the table and I can bring and be the interesting one that brings the topics there.
Yeah.
So that's a way to just turn that total thought around.
I really like that. Now, Holly, this is a show, of course, about networking. And so how would we know, you know, what's a good referral for you?
Well, if somebody wanted to reach me personally, they could email me at Holly, and it's Holly with an I, at empoweringwomenmonthly.com. Mm-hmm. And if they'd like to read what I've written in some of my articles, they can go to empoweringwomenmonthly.com/blog. Mm-hmm. And they can also, you know, go there and get on my email list so that they can get some of the tips, tricks, and techniques that I do, you know, teach women and work with women on.
Okay. Well, very cool. And then is there any type of particular, I'm guessing mostly divorced women, is that the good referral for you, or is there a certain
target? Well,
it's not
really. You know, it's funny, you know, somebody asked me, what's your niche? And divorced women are great for me to work with, but honestly, Tara, it's any age woman, because even women who've just graduated college, because the sooner you can work through these limiting money beliefs and the sooner you can get over your fears and obstacles to taking financial responsibility, the better. And the sooner you can build a nest egg so that you can retire very comfortably. So yes, divorced women, but it's really any woman or any smart man who really want to learn how to do it in a, you know, a non-threatening, easy fashion.
Okay. Cool. Well, thank you so much, Holly, for being our guest today. I've appreciated the things that you've had to say. I've found this very educational, but also it's been a pleasure getting to know you a little bit better and to hear your story. It's always, you know, the stories are the things that help us connect with people. And so I appreciate you sharing your story, even though it was challenging and hard. you know, my mom always said you have to go through things to, you know, the things that you go through make you the person that you are. And you're definitely, a living example of that. So thank you for sharing the story, even though it was challenging for you. I appreciate
it. You're welcome.
Thank you. So you listeners, you timid networkers, you networkers that are just trying to improve a little bit, for whatever it is that you're looking to do to get out of your own way, you're trying to change your mindset about something, take some of those steps that Holly shared with us today. You know, starting with be aware, have that attitude of gratitude. Be grateful for the things that we see around us and be open. Open your mind up to that. But also be aware of what it is that you want to change. Create some strategies and some tactics.
Fantastic tactics.
That would be fantastic. And Holly brought out, a bracelet or a ring, or you could do what I did and have a power song going through your head. And those power statements, they really help change that mindset. Take that negative comment, turn it into a positive one, and then practice, whether it's mentally or really physically doing it, preferably both, because when we practice them mentally, we're able to, change the way that our mind doesn't know the difference between, practicing in your mind and doing it, in real life. So the more that we practice that great, interaction or that wonderful introduction or whatever it is, the more we do that, the more fluent we become with it. And it becomes second nature to us. It actually becomes part of us. And like Holly said, it does require work. We can't just expect for it to happen. We really have to work towards it. And if we can have that determination and change that mental attitude that we have, that mindset, we can really reach the success that we're looking for. So thank you very much for joining us today. You can find me, Tara Schmeichel, on Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter. But also you can find the Once Timid Networker on Facebook as well. And you can keep up with all of the radio shows that we have and listen to them whenever it is that you'd like to, because, we have an archive, so you can listen whenever you like. But also check out our blog, theoncetimidnetworker.com, and find more stories. Thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate it, and we're grateful. Hope that your networking efforts are fantastic.
This has been a presentation of Next Stage Online Radio, the internet radio station for Next Stage Media Group. For more information on our business and lifestyle programs, go to nextstagemediagroup.com.